1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 to 5. In particular, I want to select these words. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. And then verse 5. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 to 5. Whatever is going on here? In verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite has come from nowhere, stood before Ahab, and confronted him with the word of the Lord. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. He confronts the evil, wicked, sinful king, and he confronts him with judgment. There's a withholding of moisture. There's a withholding of rain. There's going to be famine. There's going to be disaster. And it's the word of the Lord, and God has given me this authority and power to tell you this and to order this. There'll be no rain in the next few years except at my word. It was a one-to-one confrontation, except there was a third person there, the Lord God himself, of course, and he makes all the difference. But then the word of the Lord comes to Elijah. I'm not sure Ahab knew this, but the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and what does he say? Confront him again. Tell him again. No, leave here. Turn east. Cross the Jordan. Go to the Kerith Ravine and hide there in the fastness of the ravine. Remarkable. What's going on here? And so Elijah did as the Lord told him. He crossed the Jordan. He left Ahab. And he went and hid in the Kerith Ravine. I can imagine Ahab congratulating himself. Oh, I got rid of that troubler of Israel then. He came and shot his bolt. He shouted his mouth off. And now he's gone. Good riddance. Peace and quiet. And I can get on with my life. And he's got a nasty shock coming, because the famine will arise. The sun will beat down, and the drought will go on and on and on. And if Ahab does congratulate himself, he's making a gross, great, massive mistake. Why? Because this is judgment. This is judgment. Silence. Elijah is silenced by God. He is hidden by God. And although Ahab may congratulate himself, it is in fact a mark, a signal mark, of the judgment, of the wrath of God. I suppose there's one thing worse than silence from God, and that is when false teachers abound. But silence from God, no word from the Lord. Is there no word from God? When God is not speaking in power through his servants, when he's hiding his servants, when he's hiding them in the ravine, when he's taking them away, when there's silence, that's a mark of judgment. Amos chapter 8 is precise upon it. There shall come, says God, a famine, not a famine of bread, not a famine of moisture for food and crops, no, but a famine for the word of God, for the hearing of the word of God. You get this in Israel's history. There are times when they have lost the law. They've lost the book of the law. And when they find it, it's something they never read before. They don't know anything about it. It's forgotten. I can imagine Israel congratulating herself when she's in those times. Oh, they don't even know they've lost the word of God. But my friend, it's a mark of judgment. You see, it is a mark of judgment when we have powerless preaching, effeminate preaching, when we have polished professional preaching but no vigor, no directness, no polemical, no confrontational preaching. Elijah has confronted this man in the name of God, and now it's silence. Silence. The man is hidden. But that's the judgment of God. Oh, I know, Romans 2:4, Romans 10:21, the goodness of God leads sinners to repentance. I know he stretches out his hand all day long to a disobedient people. Blessed be God for it. But there's a signal mark of judgment when he takes away powerful preaching. You know, in history, there was 1,000 years of the Dark Ages. Now, the word of God was not entirely absent, but it was corrupted over. And those Dark Ages are well named. Dark Ages. And if it should come again, my friend, if it should come again, it will be a curse and condemnation. Think of the millions that lived and died. Died and entered eternity in utter darkness and ignorance. There was a Puritan, I think it was John Rogers of Dedham, but I might be wrong there. He preached this theme, and he showed it in the pulpit. He closed the Bible slowly, and then he lifted it and took it down below the desk, and the congregation gathered what he was saying, and they cried out, "Give us back our Bible! Give us back our Bible!" They knew, you see, the danger, the curse that it would be if God should take away his word. In England, in the time of the Tudors, how many faithful preachers of the gospel, powerful preachers of the gospel, left for the Americas, left for the continent. Oh, I can understand the authorities congratulating themselves, James and Charles and Mary Tudor and all the rest of it. But, my friend, it was a curse. This land was left, the United Kingdom, England was left without these powerful preachers. Oh, I know God brought blessing out of it in the end. But the truth is, it's not a mark of blessing when there's silence from God. It's a great curse and condemnation. And here it is for Ahab. This is the wrath of God upon him, and he'll pay a heavy price for it. Shall I close now? That will be a historical talk. My friend, I live in the United Kingdom, and although it's not going to make me popular to say it, and although many will raise their hands in horror and shout aloud, I believe, although there's a great deal of so-called preaching, there is very little what I would call confrontational, direct, blunt preaching from God. We have effeminate preaching. We have professional preaching. We have lecturing. We have smooth preaching. It won't do, my friend. Let God arise. May God arise. Raise up preachers who really will preach the word of God, the gospel, Christ to us. I say again, silence is the word for this sermon, this little discourse. Silence. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, yes, but it didn't come to Ahab. Leave here. Go away. Hide. And don't speak to this man again. And that's a curse and condemnation. Unbeliever, do not congratulate yourself if you are not disturbed. That's a mark of God's condemnation. Fear that, tremble at that. What you should fear is not fearing. If God should bless you, he will awaken you and give you a sense of alarm. What must I do to be saved? May God do that to every unbeliever listening to me. And then show you the mercy of God in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And believer, the greatest curse that can be to us is not to have the word of God powerfully preached among us. Was it the Puritans who said, brown bread and the gospel is good fare? Today we have more than brown bread, we have luxury, but do we have the gospel? May these words come home to us with power. May God not take away his servants now and hide them and keep them in obscurity and in silence. But may God arise. Great was the company of the preachers. May it be so. May the Lord give the word. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of the preachers. And may there be real preachers raised, not only in the United Kingdom, but throughout the world. And may many throughout the world, amongst Islam, Buddhism, philosophies of every kind, may they hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with power and with vigor. May God arise and bless us indeed. Amen.